you to hot potato nights. Everything will be alright. Don't be worried, no, don't put up a fight, don't put up a fight. Just let me take you to my hot potato nights.
It's hot potato nights. It's the same as Baywatch nights. It's the same. And now, please welcome your hosts, a potato and another potato at night.
Hello, welcome to Baywatch Nights. This is the new, Hot Potato Nights. This is a new thing from the Baywatch people, where instead of all the usual gubbins, it's like a late night discussion show, isn't it?
It's not late night though, is it?
It's like Baywatch Nights.
How is it like Baywatch Nights?
Well, you know how you had Baywatch Nights where you had David Hasselhoff and he was a detective at night and he was solving alien crimes?
In the second series it was alien crimes, yeah.
It was all werewolves and all manner of stuff like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is.
What, are we fighting werewolves, are we?
No, we're not fighting werewolves. No, we're just having an After Dark discussion show. A bit like After Dark, do you remember that?
With Oliver Reed being drunk.
With Oliver Reed being drunk. Well, it's like that, but it's Baywatch Nights. Hot Potato Nights.
What, are we detectives?
Oh, one of those nights. No, we're not detectives. I don't know where you've got this from. It's like Baywatch Nights.
Yeah, Baywatch Nights featured... Well, he had a midlife crisis, didn't he? And he formed a detective agency?
No, that wasn't Mitch. That wasn't Mitch Buchanan. That was the old guy from Baywatch. He had a midlife crisis. He formed a late-night detective agency, and then Mitch came on board and... They fought werewolves. An airwolf.
What's that got to do with hot potatoes?
Well, this is what this is. This is the same thing.
Where are you at the moment?
I'm in a motorway service station.
Cashier number 4, please.
I like the way you coped with your explosive anus just then. The way you just carried through. It was very British of you.
It was very British. Anybody listening to this probably knows I am British.
Yes.
You're British as well, aren't you?
I'm mainly British, yeah.
Can you prove that?
Is Welsh British? I've got a bit of Welsh in me.
Everything's British.
Everything is British.
Everything's British on these islands, apart from Ireland, the Isle of Man, Jersey, and that's it, I think.
Well, what's the Isle of Man, then?
The Isle of Man is a... It's not a crown dependency, it's something else. It's a... it's one of those. It's the same as Jersey.
Ooh.
Well, it's not new. That's not the technical term for it. Not ooh. It's a... if I had the internet, then I'd be able to tell you what it is. But as I've already said, I'm in a motorway service station.
Okay, whereabouts is the motorway service station?
It's on the M6.
Okay. Britishness.
So if you've got some Welsh in you...
Yeah.
Is that it?
Just a little bit of Welsh. I've got the same DNA as a leek.
A leek?
Well, partially, yeah.
What was your granddad a leek?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
So I'm mainly British, is the point.
Yeah, you may. Well, what? When you say mainly British, what, are you hiding a bit of you that isn't British?
Yes.
What?
The Welsh bit.
No, that's British.
Right. So I'm purely British.
Welsh is British.
Right. So I'm purely British, apart. No, including the leak bit.
Including the leak bit. Let me just, for the benefit of listeners, if there's anybody still listening, let me just clarify what is and is not British. Are you ready?
Yes.
English, British, bang. Scottish, British, bang. Welshish, British, bang. And Northern Irish-ish, British, bang.
Right.
That's British.
Okay, I've got you.
Right, yeah. So, and everything else, you're sort of part British, so that would be your Jerseyans, your Guernseyans, that other one, and your Manish, and all your crown dependencies. 14 crown dependencies across the world. That's the British Empire. That's the sorry state of the British Empire today.
Manish, didn't he used to present Football Focus?
No, that was Manimal.
Right.
He's dead now, Manimal.
That's a shame. We could dedicate this episode to Manimal.
Well, okay, I mean, would you like me to say something about Manimal?
Please do.
This episode of Baywatch Nights is done in memory of Simon McCorkadale, who played Mabinable in the 1980s. Thank you very much. Is that all right?
Yes, the mannish Manimal.
So, this is a late-night discussion programme. It is late at night.
Yeah.
I think we've established that.
Yes, it's...
So, what we were going to talk about, and we have been kind of segueing into it, haven't we, really? What? Which is the subject of being British.
Yes, it's a topic you wanted to raise.
Now, I know everything there is to know about Great Britain. I know about the whole history of Great Britain. I know all the songs. I know who everybody is. So there's not one question you can't ask me that I won't know.
There's not one question I can't ask you.
No, there's... I didn't mean it like that. I said there's not... There are questions. You could ask me lots of questions.
What, and you're saying if I ask you a question about Britain, you will know the answer to it?
Yes, I'm Great Britain's foremost expert on Great Britain. I know everything there is to know about Great Britain.
You mentioned British music. Is that something you know everything about?
Yep, from Queen onwards.
So nothing pre-Queen?
The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, you name it. Queen onwards, mate. I'm in.
Hang on. Let's look at the timeline here.
Well, yeah, you start off right at the beginning. You got Queen.
Right.
Then you got Beatles.
No.
Then you got the Rolling Stones.
No, this is...
Then you've got Mark the Mat Morrison. Then you got Jazzman. And that's it.
No, your timeline's skewed.
Jasper Manning.
Yeah, but Queen didn't come before the Beatles or the Stones, did they?
Queen, I think you'll find Queen came before everybody else.
Well, when was Queen founded?
About 1969.
No, that's not right.
What do you mean that's not right?
Well, it can't be right, can it?
Why can't it be right?
Because the Beatles came up before Queen because they started in, what, 1960, 1961?
No, the Beatles started in 1972.
They were dissolved by that point.
No, they were. You can't dissolve a Beatle. Well, you could.
Yeah, you probably could. You could probably do it with household fluids.
Household fluids? What, like we?
That's a human fluid. That's not a household fluid.
Yeah, but you piss in your house.
Yeah, but do you keep jars of piss in your household?
I don't keep jars of piss in my house, no.
Well, I've heard that you do.
Well, there's rumours out there that, you know, I'm some kind of deranged moth-like character that keeps, you know, all manner of stuff around it. It's not true.
Well, I've turned up in Sheffield a few times and it's been the talk of the town.
When was the last time you were in Sheffield?
It's none of your business.
It wouldn't be any of my business. You wouldn't come and visit me, would you? No. Oh, no.
Probably not, no.
What is this got to do with Britain, apart from Sheffield being in Britain?
Well, somehow we got onto your weeing in jar habit, but it started off with household fluids, which...
Right, household fluids. Well, do you want me to write some down?
No, we don't need to do that. We're talking about dissolving Beatles.
Sorry, it's after hours. It's Baywatch Nights.
We're allowed to swear.
You're listening to Baywatch Nights.
In memory of David McGonagall Manimal, Manish.
Michael McCorkindales.
That's him.
Right, so household fluids, Jay's fluid. Could you dissolve Ringo in Jay's fluid?
What is Jay's fluid?
It's a carpet. No, it's not. It's a floor cleaner, bathroom cleaner. Well, not Jay's, any household bathroom product. Could you dissolve Ringo Starr in one of them?
I would imagine so, yeah. If you had enough
Silly
of it.
Bang. Silit Bang?
If you filled a bathtub full of Silit Bang, put Ringo in it, start naked, then yeah, he would dissolve.
They missed a trick there.
They did miss a trick.
They should have called it Barry Bang.
Peace and love.
No, Barry Bang.
What, as in Barry Silit Bang?
As in Barry Silit Bang. They should have just called it Barry Bang or Barry's Bang.
That would have worked, but what's that got to do with Queen coming after the Beatles?
You could have Barry's Bangers.
What,
as well,
sausage with Silit Bang in it?
Sausages. You see, essentially, he's branched out. Imagine Barry Silit Bang.
Mm.
He's branched out. I've covered cleaning now.
Mm.
He's in a meeting, for instance, and he says, look, lads, I've had enough now, thanks very much. I've covered cleaning. I've done your tiles, I've done your floors, I've done your, you know, your everything. It's sausages now, or I'm out of this company.
That's diversifying a bit too far. But what's that got to do with Queen, the Beatles and British music?
Barry's Bangers.
Hmm.
You see. Anyway, that wasn't a question about music, was it? You're arguing my timeline. All right, maybe it's skewed, but well, you've not asked me a question yet about Britain.
I'm trying to think of something.
How's about who won World War II?
Well, everyone knows that.
Well, who was it?
It was the Allies.
No, it was us. We won World War II.
Yeah, we were part of the Allies, weren't we?
No. We were the ones that declared war on Germany. So did France, but they went out early, let's face it. And then America and Russia and all the other lot, they came in and supported us in us winning the war. Everybody knows this.
Yes, as the Allies.
No, not as the Allies, as Great Britain and her friends.
So it's sort of like a modern pop single, so it's like Britain featuring the Allies.
It was like a supergroup. Essentially, we were the, you know, who would you have in a supergroup?
Churchill.
You'd have him out the Who, wouldn't you?
Moon.
No, not Keith Moon, he's dead.
Townsend?
No, he's dead and all. No, he's not. You'd have Pete Townsend. Yeah.
He's a bit of a filthy beggar, though, isn't he?
Well, you know, the jury's still out on that. I don't think we should touch on that one.
They're probably a bit too sensitive.
I know it's after hours, but, you know, we don't want to go there. The point is, you'd have Keith Moon. No.
Daltrey.
Roger Daltrey. You'd have Roger Daltrey and some other people off of a supergroup. Jeff Lynne, etc. So if you imagine that Britain is Roger Daltrey, all the rest of them were Jeff Lynne.
Right.
So we won the war. I mean, if you think about it, we were the only ones, well, us and Germany, that fought it all the way through. Everybody else was latecomers to the party. So our war started in 1939 and finished in 1945, if you remember, whereas their war started in 1940, 1941, etc., etc.
Right, so you're saying we won the entire war?
We won the war. Without us, there would have been no war, and we won it.
Right, and you're still proud of that, despite playing no part in it.
So ask me about the IAM, yes, because we won it. So if you ask me, who won the war?
Who won the war?
We did. So what's your next question?
So if you're so British, what do you know about Royal Britannia?
What do I know about Royal Britannia? I know everything there is to know about Royal Britannia. Ask me something else.
What do the lyrics to Royal Britannia mean?
Ah, you're trying to catch me out, aren't you?
Yeah, what are the lyrics to Royal Britannia?
What are the lyrics to Royal Britannia? Where Britain first at heaven's command arose from out of the azure bay. This was the charter of the land, and guardian angels sang this strain. Royal Britannia, Britannia rules the waves, Britain's, etc.
Well, that's not all the words, is it?
All right, the nation's not so blessed as thee. Must in their turn its tyrants fall, while thou shalt flourish great in something or other. The dread and envy of them all. Royal Britannia, etc.
Are you getting funny looks in the service station you're in at the moment?
I'm getting very funny looks in the service station, admittedly, because I didn't want to be doing this.
Right, okay, well, what do the lyrics mean?
The lyrics to Royal Britannia means that Britain forever, she'll rule over absolutely everything.
Look, it's inaccurate, isn't it?
Mainly the seas.
Well, that might be true, actually.
Well, it's not. Well, to be fair to the fellow who wrote it, at the time, we did rule the seas. Literally rule the seas. We had the biggest navy in the world. Nobody was bigger than us. We owned every single ocean on Earth. It was ours.
Well, I think maritime law is actually still in place, isn't it?
It is still in place, yeah, there are. There's rules and regulations. You can't just go to the sea and do what you like.
No,
for instance, if you wanted to start a rave in the middle of the Atlantic, you're not allowed to do that.
That's my plan's bugger then.
What, you're going to go raving?
Underwater rave, yeah.
Yeah, throw some shapes.
Just undersea, yeah.
Yeah? Well, you're not allowed to do that because what will happen is you'll be blasted out of the water by the American Navy. Upstarts.
They are upstarts, political upstarts.
So have you heard this rumour that Joanna Lumley's got a plastic arsehole?
I've heard this rumour. It was around in the 90s, wasn't it?
It was actually around, it's been as early as the 1970s.
Mm.
So, I mean, this is you're literally going back to the days when she was in the Avengers.
Is it a medical?
Not the Avengers.
A medical
the
thing?
The new Avengers. Is it medical?
Yeah.
What, having a plastic arsehole?
Well, did she need it put in for medical reasons?
Well, now, the story behind it is rather sordid.
Mm.
It is after hours.
It is her arsehole.
It is her arsehole. I mean, I suppose we are already talking about an arsehole, aren't we?
Mm.
Thinking about it. So anyway, yeah, the story goes that Joanna, allegedly, and this is a big allegedly, used to like a bit of the old... up the old... how's your father? With a bit of the old... spread on... as it was... You know what I mean?
No, you lost me with the first throat clearance.
Well, the whole point is, she had far too much of that, and she ended up with a plastic arsehole.
What?
It's in all the books.
Which books?
The books.
Which books are you referring to?
The books. The books they have in libraries. The Joanna Lumley section.
You're lucky we haven't got any footnotes on this podcast.
There's no footnotes. Don't be ridiculous. You know, this is fact, is this. If you go to your local library, go to the Joanna Lumley section, there's a whole section there, under P, plastic arsehole.
Are there still libraries?
There are still libraries. We've got a library.
Right.
Do you know what's in it?
Joanna Lumley's plastic arsehole?
No, not Joanna Lumley's plastic arsehole. Books.
Right, okay.
You name a book, any book, and I'll tell you what's in it.
Have we got onto that?
Well, it's an after-hours discussion. This is what I mean, it's Baywatch Nights.
Right, any book, yeah?
Any book.
God.
And not one of your fancy bloody university books before you start this. Don't try and trip me up with your Kurtz Wannabelly or whatever his name is. I don't want any of that rubbish.
You said any book.
Any book that isn't one of your fancy university books, I'm saying.
Right. All right, what happens...
A proper book.
What?
I want a proper book.
What happens in...
I've not read that.
All right, what's Killing for Company about?
Killing for Company, there's a couple of fellas, they start a carpet company, and it goes very successfully, and then one of them gets a bit jealous of the other one, thinking, if I got rid of him now... I'd have the old carpet company, wouldn't I? Next thing you know, he strangles him in a carpet and he ends up with the old carpet company, Killing for Company.
So it's fiction, is it?
It's Killing for a Company.
Is it fiction?
Yeah, it's fiction. It's about these two blokes. They start a carpet company and, well, I've already told you that bit.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, you're not right, no.
Am I right?
No, you're incorrect.
Why, what is it about?
It's about Dennis Nilsson, the serial murderer.
Dennis Nilsson?
Yeah.
What, can't live... If living is without you...
That's Whitney Houston.
Can't live... That's Dennis Nilsson.
That's, well, it's Whitney Houston covering the one with the boobs.
I can't give any more...
Parton?
Can't live... No, you're thinking of... you're thinking about Dolly Parton's song.
Yeah, Parton.
Love is like a butterfly... No, the Whitney Houston one that she covered was... It's on the tip of my tongue. It was in Robin Hood. No one. It was in The Bodyguard. Anyway, it's not that one. The one I'm singing, can't live if living is without you.
It's Mariah Carey.
That was Dennis Nilsson.
It was Mariah Carey.
That was not Mariah Carey. It was Dennis Nilsson. Harry Nilsson.
Yeah, Harry Nilsson didn't take people back to his flat in Camden and strangle them, did he?
I'm not saying he did that. When did I say that Harry Nilsson used to strangle people?
You've pretty much implied it with all that you've said.
No, I said that Harry... Dennis... Is it Harry or Dennis?
Harry Nilsson is... I don't even know who Harry Nilsson is.
Harry Nilsson? He sang, put the lab in the coconut, better, 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 put the lab in the coconut and all that.
What's that got to do with the Camden serial killer?
He sang another one. It was very good. Was it, you're breaking me heart, you're tearing me apart, so fuck you. That's quite a good one.
Well,
he wrote that when he split up with his missus.
The point is, you got the details of the book wrong.
What do you mean? I didn't get the details of the book wrong. I have read Killing a Company, and that's what happens in it.
Killing for Company.
Right, name another one. I'm putting that down as disqualified.
How is it? Yeah, you're disqualified.
Don't argue with me. Don't argue with me, because you know you'll lose.
Right.
Because I shout louder than you do.
I'm looking at my books, but there's nothing that you'll know anything about.
Essentially what you're saying there is I'm thick.
No, I'm just saying you're not really up to speed.
I know everything. What do you mean I'm not up to speed?
Well, I mean, you're a little bit regressive when it comes to your knowledge, aren't you?
Regressive?
Yeah.
What do you mean regressive?
Well, I mean, you sort of look back a bit.
What, I like history, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
All right, name an history book. In fact, name a famous historical character from Britain, none of your foreign muck, and I'll know all about that.
You'll know all about any historical British person.
Any historical British person, with the exception of Florence Nightingale.
Okay, why are you leaving her out?
I don't like her.
Didn't she do good things?
No, don't like her.
Okay, Aleister Crowley.
Aleister Crowley was he was in Amarora films.
Right.
He used to play Dracula.
No, you're thinking of the wrong person. That's Christopher Lee.
Christopher Reeves? What, Superman?
No.
I've never seen Superman playing Dracula, I'm sorry. You've lost me.
No, you've lost me.
What? No, I haven't, because you've lost me first.
No.
You can't lose me when I've already lost you. I mean, if we're in a wood, can you imagine this? We're in a wood.
Yes, I'm in a wood.
Right, call out my name.
Mr. Potato.
See, I've already lost you, so how can you lose me?
Yeah, that's the point. You lost me.
No, I've lost you. I've lost you, so hang on, I'll call out your name, hang on. Mr. Potato!
Yeah, I'm here.
No, you're not supposed to reply.
But you lost me.
Mr. Potato!
What?
Stop replying to me, I'm supposed to have lost you.
Yeah, you've lost me again.
Mr. Potato! Now, we're moving on from British. I think we've got that covered now. I think I've conclusively proved that I know everything there is to know about Britain.
Apart from the timeline of modern music in Britain.
So, what we're going to do now is...
Go figure.
Yeah, you go figure, all right? I know everything there is to know about Britain, so go figure.
Right.
Yeah?
You
go figure. Have you gone and figured?
I don't know what I'm meant to be figuring.
Go King figure.
Go finger.
Sorry for swearing there.
Did you say the F-bomb?
No, I went in like that. Go in figure. But you know what I'm doing.
Go finger.
You go... not finger, figure. Go figure. Go and... figure off. All right?
Right, yeah.
To
what
do this next bit here.
What are we moving on to?
The mongerang.
The what to what?
The mongerang. There's a story behind this one. I got drunk. When I woke up in the morning, I'd written two words, the mongerang. Now, I want to know, what is that?
Well, this is one of those I got drunk stories that I can't take part in anymore because
I failed
to see the humour in drinking.
Well, obviously, because you've become a humourless Puritan.
Mm.
But we're not on about, isn't drinking great? We're on about the aftermath of somebody's drinking, which is this word, the mongerang.
So we're talking about the hell of a blackout in which the aftermath is waking up to see a word you've made up.
Exactly, and I want to know what a mongerang is.
Mongerang is bound to be a combination of fishmonger.
Fishmonger.
And an aircraft hangar.
Fishmonger and an aircraft hangar.
Fishmongeranger.
Yeah, but that's fishmongeranger.
It's an abbreviation.
That's fishmongeranger.
Yeah, it's an abbreviation.
No, you see, no, I wanted mongerang.
Okay.
A mongerang, to my way of thinking, a mongerang is a mung bean crossed with a boomerang.
That's impossible.
It's a vegetarian boomerang. Could you imagine that?
Well, they are vegetarian anyway, aren't they?
You're there being a vegetarian. Can you imagine yourself as a vegetarian?
Well, a boomerang, I believe, is made from the mung mung tree, isn't it?
A boomerang isn't made from a mung mung tree. There's no such thing as a mung mung tree.
Is it a monkey and an orangutan if they have sex?
It could be a monkey and an orangutan. Now, that actually sounds quite plausible. What would a monkey having sex with an orangutan look like?
Well, hang on. Is an orangutan an ape?
No, an orangutan, a technical term for an orangutan is a monkey. It's a big monkey.
I'm not sure that's right, is it?
No, you've got your little monkeys. Let me just sit you down here and do a bit of science with you. Okay. I hope you don't mind.
No.
Are you there?
Hello.
It's after hours, so this is going to be, you know, quite sleazy science.
Go figure.
Okay, you go figure. Now then, essentially what you've got is you've got three types of monkeys. Yeah, at the bottom, you've got your wee little monkeys, and those are those monkeys you see in films wearing fezzes and waistcoats.
Well, like in Indy?
In Indiana Jones, yeah. They're the funny monkeys. They dance for monkey people, and you hit them with sticks and what have you, yeah?
You don't hit them with sticks.
That's what you do with little monkeys. You hit them with sticks.
Maybe in the 1970s, but...
No, you hit them with sticks. So anyway, then you've got your second class of monkeys. Yeah, that's your baboons.
Right.
baboons are those ones with the big backsides.
Do you hit them with sticks?
No, I wouldn't hit a baboon with a stick. They're dangerous.
It depends on the stick, I suppose.
Well, you could hit it with a... Well, no. If I was going to provoke a baboon, I'd do it from within a Land Rover with one of those big canes I used to pull people off stages with.
I can't picture a baboon. Is it smaller than a gorilla?
No, a baboon is that thing with a long face and the big, horrible, big arse.
Got you.
You got him?
Yep.
Right, he's in the category of monkey.
He's yes? still a monkey?
No, you've got your wee little monkeys, your monkeys, and now we're moving on to your big monkeys.
Right.
Right, your big monkeys, you've got your chimpanzee.
Okay.
Your gorilla and your orangutan.
But your gorilla, sure, there's a difference between an ape and a monkey.
There's no difference between an ape and a monkey.
Are you sure about this?
I am sure about this, yes. I went to biology college.
You didn't go to biology college.
I went to biology college. Have you got any proof that I didn't go to biology college? Ask me a biological question.
Word of mouth, from your own mouth, is that you went to art college and left.
I didn't go to art college and left. Well, I did, but I also went to biological college.
Biological college.
Yes, biological college. What's wrong with that? That's a real thing, that.
Right, okay. Biology question.
Go ahead.
How many... I don't know anything
genus,
about biology.
Genus. Is that what you're going to ask me about? Genuses? Or were you going to ask me about genetics? How do you catch genetics? Is that what you're going to ask me?
Yeah, what do you catch? This? What do you catch a genetic off of?
What do you catch your genetics off of? I'll tell you. You have sex with a monkey or a pig or a hippopotamus, and the next thing you know, you've caught genetics and you've got kidney stones. That's how it works. I learnt that in biological college.
Okay, should we get back to where we were?
I'm in biological. The mungerang.
Yes.
So we've established, I think, that it's a cross between a monkey and an orangutan. So if that's the case, what colour would it be?
Well, it'd be a mixture of orange and sort of dark brown, wouldn't it?
No, because monkeys are blue.
Which monkey is blue, exactly?
The monkeys, the big monkeys. I'm assuming you mean that the orangutan has had sex with a chimpanzee, is that right?
I didn't say anything. This is your stream of knowledge.
No. You said that a mungerang is a cross between a monkey and an orangutan. I'm nailing down the monkey now.
Don't nail the monkey. You've hit it with sticks and
I'm
now you're nailing it.
With sticks and then nailing it. I'm nailing a monkey. I'm nailing the genus of a monkey. The genus. Do you know what a genus is?
I'm calling the police.
Don't call the police. I'm not nailing monkeys. Now then. How's about that then? We've established the mungerang thing. There was a bit of a pause there. Sorry about that. We had to iron out our differences, didn't we?
Yes.
Is that it?
Is what?
Right. Well, anyway, we're now moving on. Apparently, a little bird tells me you've got no milk.
Yes. Well, have you ever noticed, Mr. Potato?
I have.
Yeah. These days, when you pour some milk into a cup of tea and it's on the turn, you get little white bits of milk.
You do get little white bits of milk. And I have observed that I'm sure that didn't used to happen in the olden days.
Is this observational comedy?
This is observational comedy. Did you like observational comedy back in the 80s?
When it was fresh and new, yeah. I loved it.
I mean, for the benefit of our younger listeners, and unfortunately there are some of those out there nowadays, as you may have witnessed if you walked down any British high street and seen a fucking arse hanging out the top of a pair of trousers. What's that all about?
Do you not wear your trousers like that, then?
Eh?
Do you not wear your trousers in that manner?
You've just missed what I did there, haven't you?
What did you do?
I just did some observational comedy, from off of the 80s. Arses hanging out. What's that all about?
I thought you made a observation.
No, it was an observational comedy.
Well, what's the difference?
I've done an observational comedy, officer. I'm sorry.
What's the difference between making an observation and observational comedy?
Well, essentially, because you've got to make it funny. Admittedly, the arse hanging out the trousers thing wasn't that hilarious, if that wasn't funny at all. And I'm certainly not the first person to point it out. So what would it be an observational comedy? For instance, I suppose, you'd say, airline food. What on earth's that all about?
Yeah, what is it all about?
Well, I mean, it's a tray with chicken, some mash. What else do you get? Get a little yoghurt, don't you?
You tend to get a panini.
Panini? What's that?
It's like toast and cheese, really.
No, it's a sticker company.
Well, airline food, I suppose, I can tell you what it's all about.
Go on.
They don't really have catering facilities, so they have to make pre-prepared food, which is never really going to hit the high standards that you might expect, considering the price of your ticket. Is that comedy?
What's that all about?
Very good.
So, I mean, if I was in a comedy club now in the 1980s, for the benefit of our younger listeners, I actually didn't explain this last time, did I? In the olden days, you used to have things called comedy clubs. Before you had hoodies and knives and robbing old ladies, what we used to do when we were youths was go to comedy clubs, and they were essentially brick-lined rooms where a bloke in a very loud shirt and large hair would go on about airline food, wouldn't he? Aeroplane food.
And he would ask what it's all about without actually allowing you to tell him what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, you were never allowed, were you? When he came up and went, airline food, what's that all about? You weren't allowed to put your hand up, were you? And so, well, it depends, obviously. I mean, sometimes it's chicken. It's definitely a little yoghurt and a packet of stickers. You weren't allowed to say that, were you?
There was no feedback session, was there?
Yeah, in fact, anybody's giving to see a stand-up comedian, you're not allowed to put your hand up, are you?
What, in a comedy club?
Yeah, they frown on that.
Well, do they even exist anymore, comedy clubs?
They do, and you're not even allowed to put your hand up and ask to go to the toilet.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did that. Last time I went to see a comedian and put my hand up, and I ended up pissing myself.
Well, that's not a first, is it?
He ignored me. So anyway, I've got a brand new idea.
Excuse me.
No, I've got a brand new idea.
Right, hit me with it.
I think that we should buy Africa.
What, me and you?
No, not me and you. We couldn't afford Africa, could we? I mean, how much have you got saved up? What's your savings? 200 quid?
About that, yeah.
About 200 quid. Well, I've got about 200 quid. Can we afford Africa?
Probably a bit of it.
Yeah? What, for 400 quid? How much?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much land's worth in Africa these days.
Well, hang on a minute. Let me bring up... How much does... If I'm typing into the internet for the benefit of listeners, if you could provide some sort of commentary while I'm doing that.
Well, I'll just offer this thought. On Comic Relief, they're always saying it only costs a fiver to make a well in Ethiopia or wherever. So if you can make a well, presumably that includes the land rights for a fiver, for 400 quid, you could probably buy a few acres, couldn't you?
Right, is that you filling in?
I think, well, if you're done...
Right, well, I've got on Google here, how much does African mango cost?
Mango?
Mango, I'm clicking it. If I go off, this is a virus, this.
Why have you put mango?
No, I didn't. I put into Google, how much do we get for £200 in Africa? And it's come up with African mango. Trust our experience, lose weight safely, clinically tested.
What?
That's what it says. How much can you get for £200 in Africa? Comes up with African mango. How much does African mango cost? Real African mango is a potent health and diet aid, but it can be expensive. You're telling me? Most retailers charge up to $200 for an African mango extract because it's so hard to find and import. But if you want real results, look for real quality African mango, not fake or low quality supplements.
Listen, what were your keywords and what are your parameters?
Right, I brought back the last page. How much do we get for £200 in Africa?
And those are your parameters?
Those are my parameters. Those are my indices. That's the genus.
We need more parameters.
Why do we need more parameters?
Well, because it's obviously taking you to some health food site or something.
I've got a currency converter. That's no use to us. Before you go, backpacking, travel, pre-trip, advice and insurance. That's no use to us. I want to know how much of Africa we can buy for 200 quid. Well, and then we'll double it for 400.
It's probably getting confused because they don't have quid in African speak, do they?
I didn't put quid, I put how much do we get for symbol £200 in Africa?
Symbol? What, like Prince?
No, Simba. No, not symbol, not like Prince, symbol.
Symbol like a pound sign.
Oh, pound sign. How much do we get for pound sign? £200 in Africa.
They don't have pounds or quids. That's what I'm saying.
They do have pounds. They have pounds in Africa. We used to own Africa. So I'm saying we're going to buy it back.
Are you sure that's the currency in all of Africa?
All of Africa. The whole of Africa. The currency there is the African pound.
Right, okay.
So what I want to know is how much of Africa can we buy? If any listeners are out there, if they could ring in on 01401... 444-001-041 and ask us, you know, tell us how much of Africa we can buy. Are there any listeners out there? Is there anybody on the switchboards?
So you're telling me you went on Google, you typed in a perfectly reasonable question, and it came back with
African
completely
mango.
Unhelpful information.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Now, Mr. Potato, I hear you've had an excellent idea to do with the smoking ban.
The smoking ban, yes. Now, as you know, I am a militant when it comes to the smoking ban.
I don't even go to the pub anymore.
Well, obviously, yeah, but you've given up drinking, haven't you?
Yeah, I know, but I was on the verge of not going even when I was still drinking, because that stupid ban.
Yes, I mean, the ban, essentially, what the government did was they banned smoking in the one place where virtually everybody smoked. And the net result of that was all the pubs closed down. So thanks a lot for that. That was a very good idea. Now, if you do go to the pub and you want to smoke indoors, imagine that. Can you imagine that?
Well, no, not anymore. It's a hazy memory.
Exactly, yeah. Well, now, if you'll notice that smoking shelters are outside now.
Mm.
In the cold, in the freezing cold, because we live in Northern Europe.
Yes.
So what you've got, the scenario you've got now is the pub itself has nobody in it, and all of the customers are outside in the garden, freezing to death, smoking cigarettes.
Yep.
Yes?
Yep, got
that,
you.
That now is the traditional British boozer. So, to combat that, what I thought of was a box with a pub in it with one wall missing.
A box with a pub in it?
With one wall missing. A rotating box with a pub in it with a wall missing.
So, sort of, for three quarters of the time, you've got heat.
Now, this is where it gets clever. Now, you see, all these smoking shelters that you've got have these heaters, don't they?
Mm.
So what you do is you arrange about eight of them around the hole and blast hot air just there all the time. Plus, you rotate the pub in a box on a central hub, a spire, a wheel, what have you, away from the wind. So it's like, well, it's turning into a bit of a sou'westerly here. Let's shift the dog and partridge to the southeast. Bob's your uncle. So you're inside a pub, effectively, but it's a pub that doesn't break the rules of the smoking ban. But it's all lovely and cosy in there, like a proper pub.
So it's not rotating constantly?
It's not like a revolving restaurant.
Right.
No, that wouldn't work, would it? Because you'd be rotating and it whoosh, wind, all your fags would go out. Well, that's quite nice, lovely this. Light another fag. Oh, I like this, lovely. Whoosh, all your fags would go out again.
So basically, pub landlords would be duty-bound to listen to the shipping forecast.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think of that idea?
Well, it's not ideal, is it?
Why isn't it ideal? This is ridiculous.
What if it's a pub on a terrace?
A pub on a terrace. You mount them on the ground like machine guns.
Yeah, I mean, if it's attached to two buildings either side.
No, it's not attached. It's in a park. It's in a park.
Right. Well, what about existing pubs?
In the Lake District, eh?
So existing pubs can go hang.
I can't help them.
Right. You're not in the business of helping existing pubs.
I'm not saving the British pub industry. That's not my job. I'm trying to come up with a modern 21st century smoking ban busting pub.
I feel a bit like Theopathetus.
What, like Dragon's Den? I'm assuming you're out, are you?
No, I'm not yet out. You've failed to convince me as yet.
Right. Well, for a start off, you know, you, of all of these dragons, are a prat. I don't like you. Actually, no, I don't like the Scottish one more than you.
Right, so who do you like?
Right, out of the dragons. Who are the dragons? First off, let's establish who the dragons are. Number one, Cliff Richard. He sits at the end, and he's about 8 foot tall.
Jonesy.
Yeah, Cliff Richard.
Yep.
Number two, the woman who's got a face like a slapped ass.
Deborah's Meadens.
Number three, No, hang on. Number two is Theo's Pelopidas.
Yeah.
Then you've got Deborah's Maidens. Then you've got this new one. This what's her name?
Des Lynham.
Des Lynham. She talks like that.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm a dragon. I'm from up north. I'd like to invest in your company. I've got a knowledge company of my own. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, she's in Pallets, isn't she?
She's in Pallets, yeah, Pallets. They're either, essentially, you only get two types of millionaire in the north of England. You're either in ball bearings or you're in Pallets. You're in, that's the only people who are rich up here.
Right.
Right, finally, you've got Duncan's Bannatyne's.
What's he doing?
Right? He is he owns a gymnasium in Scotland.
A single gymnasium?
He owns a gymnasium in Scotland. I think he's got an ice cream van.
He must be loaded.
What?
So, where were we?
So, I'm in front of you, the dragon. I'm not talking to you, Theo, alright?
Right.
Can you declare yourself out, please?
Well, unless Deborah wants to go into partnership with me, I'm out.
Right, lovely. Now, I'm turning my attention to the dragon I actually want here. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's alright.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm turning my attention to the dragon I actually want now, which is Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard Jonesy.
I don't want you in a sexual sense.
Okay. So what are your overheads? Tell me about your pricing policy.
My overheads, I've got to build the place, obviously.
Just one? Is it one place, not a chain?
No, I'm building loads of them.
Right.
We've got the facilities in Huddersfield.
Is it a franchise?
It's going to be, no, I'm owning them all.
Mm.
So, right, well, you know, to break it down, your costs, you've got your walls, that's a few bob. You've got your central sphere, hub stroke wheel.
What is that?
That's gonna put it up a bit.
That's the revolving mechanism, is it?
That's the revolving mechanism. That's where all your wires and your bits go.
Mm.
Then you got your fit out.
Are you smoking in the den?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You got your fit out. Says you.
Well, I'm a dragon. I'm allowed to have a fag.
You're not a real dragon.
Okay. So what's your turnovers?
Right, my turnovers were expected in the first year. We are projected to turn over £1 billion.
What? £1 billion in a net.
£1 billion in a net over a turnover of a gross year.
Hang on, why? Who says the year's going to be gross?
That's what a year is. You do, if you do anything about finances, multi-millionaire Cliff Richard, you would know that a year is broken down into three factors. Are you with me?
Nets, grosses.
Factor one, nets. Factor two, grosses.
Bang.
Factor three, turnover.
Bang.
Bang, exactly. Go figure.
No, you go finger.
No, you go... You go figure, not me go figure. I'm the one that came up with go figure first.
No, you weren't. That was an American.
Well, did they ever come up with anything first? I mean, if you got an American on Dragon's Den, what would he have? A beef burger?
There was an American in the first series.
No, there wasn't. He was Canadian.
Right, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, are you gonna back me? I've given you the figures. I've given you the projected turnovers for the net year of a gross what have you.
Now listen.
What I'm saying to you, just listen to me, all right? What I'm saying to you, Peter, is you're an idiot if you don't go in with me. You're an idiot. All you've learned about business over the last 30 years, whatever it is bollocks if you don't go in with me.
Well, listen, you've based your projections on what exactly?
That we're going to get £1 billion in the first gross net of the takeover year.
Have you sold any of these pubs at all yet?
No, but we're on a promise.
You're on a promise, are you?
We're on a promise. There's several people I'd spoke to in the pub the other day that definitely said they'd drink in one of these.
Have you got any letters to confirm that?
I don't need letters. It's word of mouth, isn't it? You don't know anything about the pub industry. That's the problem with you, Peter. Essentially, it all goes on word of mouth in the pub industry. Where do I get my beer? Have a word with Clive. Are you sure you got a pub? You have a word with Clive. All right, he'll sort you out. Yeah,
right.
I need a pub. You know, I've run out. My last pub's run off. and married a German. I need another one. Oh, well, you know, Colin over there knows a one, right, etc. It's word of mouth in the pub industry. So you take it as read. They said that. I'm on a promise. £1 billion, first year.
Right. I thought it was a billion before.
I said it was a billion.
Yeah, you've gone from billion to million.
No, I said a billion. I had a fag in my mouth. But are we doing business here? Are we doing business here?
Well, you're talking telephone numbers.
I'm not talking telephone numbers. I'm talking telephone numbers. I'd say 01476 476 476.
Right, well, I'm out.
Why are you out?
Because that's not my telephone number.
I've got your wife. I've kidnapped your wife.
I'd love to do business with you.
Thank you very much. Well, there we go. That's all for our after hours discussion for this week, month. We'll see how this goes. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, what do you think we've achieved?
Well, it wasn't quite as much like Baywatch Nights as I was hoping it was going to be.
Well, what did you imagine, seriously?
Baywatch Nights.
Yeah, well, I can't see the connection.
That's why I called this Hot Potato Nights.
Because of Baywatch Nights?
Yeah.
Well, neither of us has had a midlife crisis. We haven't set up a detective agency in the Americas.
Mm.
So, I can't see your logic.
I was just hoping it was going to be like Baywatch Nights. That's all I was hoping. I called it Hot Potato Nights. I thought, what can we do? What can we do to fill in that difficult month between, you know, one Hot Potatoes podcast and the next? Because there's always a month in between.
Exactly
month, one yeah. month. And I thought, what can we do between, you know, giving them, you know, a big one full of songs and all that rubbish that takes us ages to do? What can we do? I thought, oh, I know. We'll have a late night discussion panel show. And it'll be just like Baywatch Nights. Because it's at night. And that's what I thought. So that's why I called it Hot Potato Nights. But it's not worked out like that.
Well, Baywatch Nights wasn't transmitted from a motorway service station.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's not good enough.
Well, that's not my fault. But, you know, the whole point is you asked me what I thought. And I thought, well, it's not turned out quite as I expected it to be.
Okay. So you're disappointed.
Well, I'm not disappointed, no. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if I had my time again, I'd call it something else.
Well, we have time again, next time again.
We do. I mean, that is the beauty of the after-hours system.
And the free internet service that we provide the people with.
Yeah, it's not free for us. So, you know, anybody listening to that, they might want to think about that.
Any donations, gratefully received. Go figure.
Go figure, you cheapskate pack of bastards. Goodbye.
I'll see you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Baywatch Nights, Baywatch Nights, coming over at night time. You see?
All right. Yeah, I see. Yeah,
it's nice.
You enjoyed your hot potato night. Everything just turned out right. You didn't struggle, although I thought you might. I'm glad you made it through this hot potato night. Oh.
You've been listening to Baywatch Nights, Hot Potato Nights. I've been the posh-voiced woman, Julia Blythe. Your orchestra for the evening was Nick Tan and the Tanettes, and your hosts were Liam Tucker, B.P. Perry, and a couple of baked potatoes. Goodbye, and may the potatoes go with you. Oh, bloody hell, Liam, I just want you to know that even though I'm sitting here in my house on my own, that was really fucking embarrassing.